A full-page advertisement in the Wall Street Journal costs more than most homes, yet minutes after reading one, you can't remember what it said. This isn't a failure of memory. It's the collapse of an entire marketing paradigm. We're drowning in over 3,000 marketing messages daily, yet we notice almost none. The TV industrial complex that powered business growth for generations, that beautiful cycle of mass production, mass advertising, and mass consumption, has quietly died. What replaced it? A world where only the truly remarkable survives. Most products today aren't bad. They're simply invisible. The difference between failure and extraordinary success no longer lies in quality or advertising budgets. It lies in whether you've built something worth talking about in the first place. Picture yourself driving through the French countryside. For 20 minutes, you're enchanted by grazing cows. Then they become wallpaper. But a purple cow? You'd slam the brakes and tell everyone. This is the brutal reality of modern commerce. The middle ground has become a graveyard. Consider 74 restaurants competing on a single Amsterdam street, most serving forgettable meals, their owners paralyzed by fear of criticism. Meanwhile, thriving companies share one trait, refusing to occupy the center. What do the Four Seasons and Motel 6 have in common? Or Walmart and Neiman Marcus? They're outliers who claimed edges others feared, super fast or super slow, wildly expensive or shockingly cheap, very big or deliberately tiny. The uncomfortable truth, following the leader guarantees failure, because that remarkable thing they did is already taken. When you copy it, it's no longer remarkable, it's just late. Marketing no longer means promoting products after they're built. It means designing them to be remarkable from the start. Schindler Elevator Corporation understood this when they introduced a centralized control panel where users enter their floor before boarding. This pre-sort system turns every elevator into an express, eliminating wasteful stops. Buildings need fewer elevators, wait times plummet, and precious space returns to people instead of machinery. Every major developer knows about this innovation, not from advertising, but because it's genuinely revolutionary. Dutch Boy applied the same thinking to paint cans. Recognizing that traditional cans were heavy and awkward to carry, open, and pour, they introduced an easier-to-use jug. Sales exploded because people don't buy paint, they buy painted walls, and the can is integral to that experience. When Curad challenged Band-Aid's dominance, they didn't make better bandages. They printed characters on them. Kids loved showing them off at school, parents appreciated how they helped boo-boos get better faster, and the playground effect took over. These innovations weren't marketing afterthoughts, they were the marketing. The Japanese concept of otaku, something between hobby and obsession, fuels word-of-mouth success. People with otaku become early adopters who discover your product, take risks trying it, and evangelize to others. Smart marketers identify otaku-driven markets and focus exclusively on them. This explains why dozens of entrepreneurs built thriving hot sauce businesses without advertising, serving passionate chili heads, while nobody's made an impact selling mustard. More people enjoy mustard, but they lack the obsession that drives conversation. Krispy Kreme mastered this strategy by creating an experience worth traveling for. They enter markets by giving away thousands of donuts, attracting people who've heard the legend. These sneezers tell friends and drag them to stores. Then Krispy Kreme expands to gas stations, starting with dedicated fans who'll drive 20 miles, finishing with people too lazy to cross the street. The most remarkable products come from passionate creators, making something for themselves. Howard Schultz built Starbucks because he genuinely loves coffee. He has coffee otaku. This explains why Starbucks's coffee excels, but their chocolate is merely adequate. Without personal otaku for your product, you must project yourself into customers' mindset or develop rigorous testing to discover what resonates. From first grade onward, schools condition us to fit in and avoid standing out, creating professionals who instinctively dodge risk. Yet in overcrowded markets, fitting in guarantees invisibility. The paradox? The same word of mouth that creates hits often begins with mockery and skepticism. But that mockery signals you've created something remarkable enough to discuss. Southwest Airlines faced ridicule for their casual approach. Netflix was dismissed when suggesting streaming. Dr. Andrew Weil was mocked before his integrative medicine gained acceptance. Cadillac's ugly CTS was derided before becoming a brand-reinventing bestseller. Bob Dylan endured vicious backlash going electric at Newport, then became legendary. If you're distinctive enough to be parodied, congratulations. The truly remarkable polarizes, creating passionate advocates alongside vocal critics. This tension becomes part of the story worth discussing. Birds fly in V formation because followers benefit from reduced wind resistance. Risk-averse business people attempt this same strategy, waiting for leaders to demonstrate breakthrough ideas before copying them. But unlike birds who rotate leadership, business followers rarely lead. They become anonymous drones, often the first casualties when economic headwinds arrive. Successful innovation follows a predictable pattern. First, get permission from impressed customers to alert them about your next innovation. Second, give sneezers tools and stories to cross the chasm. Third, once you've moved from remarkable to profitable, let a different team milk it through variations. Finally, recognize the inevitable slide toward commodity status and reinvest in launching another breakthrough. This explains why Palm, Yahoo, AOL, and Marvel initially succeeded but stagnated. They coasted rather than reinvested. Starbucks' initial innovation fueled global growth, while Maxwell House stagnated, playing it safe. The challenge? Milk the current innovation while simultaneously developing the next breakthrough. Marketing has fundamentally shifted to design. Today's successful marketer must invent, design, influence, and adapt products, building marketing success into the product itself. Compromise diminishes your chances of creating something remarkable. Vanilla ice cream may be safe for birthday parties, but it's boring, and that slot is already filled. Real growth comes from products that are too something for some people, but perfect for others. The evidence is clear. Of the world's top 100 brands, 70 were built through traditional advertising. Of the remaining 30, half grew almost entirely through word of mouth. HP, Oracle, Nintendo, IKEA, Yahoo, Starbucks. This principle applies equally to your career. Traditional job hunting through resumes has become ineffective. Truly remarkable people bypass traditional job searches entirely. They're actively recruited through passionate referrals from networks spreading word about their exceptional abilities. The secret to career success isn't mastering job-seeking techniques, but being exceptional when you're not looking for a job. This means consistently taking on highly visible projects that stretch your capabilities, making calculated risks others avoid, and being willing to occasionally fail in noteworthy ways. Counterintuitively, playing it safe is actually the riskiest strategy in today's rapidly changing job market. You don't need passion to create something remarkable. You just need to realize nothing else works. In a world where safe has become risky, remarkable has become the only path to growth. What will you build that's worth talking about?